This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm Corey Fleck and your host for the first hour. It was another interesting week in the markets, driven a lot by some central bank speeches, mostly out of Powell, and the market wanting to further, I think, predict the slowing and stopping of Fed policy. We talked a lot about that during the week, so if anybody does want some more coverage, we will be touching on it in future segments, but overall, make sure you do check out those daily editorials that I have been posting every day. I'm excited to kick off this weekend show with a new guest, Nicholas Pardini. He is part of the Davos Investment Group. Nicholas was introduced to me a few weeks ago, and we've been chatting. I've been following along with his work, and I find the way he looks at the markets from a macro level, and then even further diving down into actual investments, very unique, and somebody who I can already say I'm proud to have on our show. Nicholas, I first want to just ask you, please give our audience a general overview of the Davos Investment Group and, more importantly, your investing mentality, how you isolate what you invest in and look forward to.
The Davos Investment Group, there's two parts to our business. The first one is a macro hedge fund that's restricted to accredited investors. And the second part of our business is an institutional research platform where I share a lot of the ideas that I research for my fund and a lot of macro commentary. Like, what I'm different from a lot of macro guys is that I don't just blindly trade currency pairs or stock indices and just to try to express like a broader theme on where rates are going to go or something like that. I try to narrow it down to more specific themes, and using more specific themes, I try to be more precise with my trades by trying to express my macro views via single stocks and options contracts. Because, like, a good example is that if you were trading the European debt crisis a few years ago, you would have made a lot more money shorting Deutsche Bank stock than you would have shorting the euro.
All right, very interesting. So kind of that top-down approach and then further driving down into what it means for stocks and different, more isolated sectors. What I do want to talk about on this segment is more the big picture, macroeconomics, as well as what we could be seeing, a shift in general for the U.S. economy. Something you and I were chatting about off mic is this so-called era of hard choices that you outlined to me and what it results for the market, which we're already seeing higher volatility. Break down what this whole era of hard choices means.
Yeah, the era of hard choices is kind of the underlying theme that motivated me to start Davos. And the key theme here is that basically between 2000 and 2016, the average wages in Western countries, particularly the United States, fell by over 20%, adjusted for cost of living. This included all education levels except for postgraduate degrees, so it was pretty widespread. And the result of it is that the economy that will carry on for the last several years was because people replaced their income with debt. From 2000 to 2008, this was mortgage debt and housing. And so by having like artificially low rates and being able to borrow more, and put less down to buy their house, people were able to spend their remaining income on all their consumer goods. When that went bust in 2008, the debt shifted to other types of debt, such as car loans, student loans, and increased credit card levels. But the problem is that only works, this constant stream of refinancing to support your falling like real purchasing power, if rates continue to go down. And interest rates bottomed out in 2015, and so now these people who have been just relying on rolling debt to get by can't do that anymore. And so the result is now we're facing this era of hard choices because individuals, businesses, and governments around the world can no longer paper away their problems by rolling over the debt at a lower interest rate. And so you're going to see a lot of macro consequences for this, such as in America, it was the pension crisis, whether people are going to be, governments are going to pay out the pensions at a reduced rate, or they're going to raise taxes on the remaining younger Americans, which are a smaller population, to cover that. Or on an individual level, is like a struggling young couple going to buy that second car or have a second child or none? And on a business level, it's whether the difference between whether they can continue the buybacks or dividends, or they're going to have to cut jobs to pay for that, or they're going to get rid of their returning their capital to shareholders. I mean, there's a variety or issue stock to pay back the debt, which would be reverse buyback essentially, which you might start to see more if the market gets weaker and if rates stay at a positive level nominally. So that's what idea. And the result of the era of hard choices is you're going to have a lot more binary events in the market where asset classes are going to move just one way or another, or individual companies are going to move one way or another just based on a key decision or a key underlying trend that just comes to a break point. And with the higher levels of debt, both on corporate balance sheets and government balance sheets, it takes a lot less to move something to a break point than in previous eras.
So I think one thing very important for investors and for the markets is, even outside of individuals, but that is the corporations, because of all the debt they've piled on and the amount of share buybacks they have, and governments, just how much tinkering they have done within the markets, especially in bond markets. When we do get more significant of a rollover, and we already have seen a lot of volatility and a lot of weakness in the markets, does this all result in even more of a liquidity squeeze, a rush to cash, or is there even something more?
Well, I mean, I think it could result into a rush of cash until we get to the point where the currencies are no longer trusted, because it's still uncertain whether the Fed is going to go back to the money printing playbook. And I mean, I've done a lot of research on this and things. I'm getting, I repeat myself, pensions, because this is the most common example. Like, if the state of Illinois goes into default, it's going to take a lot more than just a QE to fix that one.
One thing you and I were also talking about is regarding the so-called recovery, because for the average person on the street, this recovery has continued to be very weak. Yes, we have wages starting to rise now, but they were stuck in the mud for a long time, and all this money that was created and all this so-called wealth that was created was really stuck at the ultra wealthy. How does this impact, or how does this play out when we get that pullback and maybe it's a little bit more isolated to the ultra wealthy?
Yeah, I think the unwind is going to be completely different than last time. Everybody's looking for another 2008, and I don't see that happening. One, because the banking system is relatively well capitalized in the United States, especially compared to other parts of the world. But also, that's also what all the regulators have been focusing on. There's been macroprudential measures to try to cover for that. And also, the average person is a lot less leveraged to the financial system than they were in prior to 2008. Homeownership rate is down nationwide, particularly in the most expensive metro areas, where it's, in many cities it's well below, it's below 50%, such as Los Angeles and San Francisco. And then in terms of the stock market, over 80% of stocks are owned by the top 10% of Americans in terms of income-wise. So there's more stocks out there broadly and more market cap, but it's concentrated in fewer hands, even if you factor in people investing with their 401k versus direct stock investments. And then in terms of the private market, such as the unicorns and private equity deals, that's even more concentrated to a small sliver of accredited investors and institutional investors.
All right. Well, hey, Nicholas, it's interesting chatting with you. I am very happy that you took some time, came on our show. I hope that we can reconnect in a few weeks or a month down the road. Nicholas, thank you for your time, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Corey.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go with water filtration systems of every size for every budget. Now, GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Michael. Welcome back. Continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed my conversation with Nicholas Pardini in the first segment. Whenever I bring on new guests, I always love hearing from our listeners as to what you all thought and some of the topics that you want us to talk about. We are going to switch focus a little bit this segment as I am chatting with Jeffrey Christian. He is the managing partner at the CPM Group. Jeff, what I want to really discuss here is when we take a step back and look at not just the metals markets, but we can look at the dollar, we can look at the U.S. equity markets, even though we've had more volatility in the U.S. equity markets, all of these sectors and markets are, for the most part, moving sideways, very much range-bound. The dollar was looking to break out, but now has pulled back again and is sitting at the higher part of its range. I guess the difference is the dollar's at the higher part of its range, while metals are at the lower part of the range, and even stocks are more near the lower part of the range. What does this overall environment tell to you when you're advising some of the companies that you do?
Yeah, I've been trying to find a way to verbalize it efficiently, but I think that across financial markets and commodities markets right now, there's a lot of investor apprehension. They look at 2018 where you had economic output stronger than they had expected, than most people had expected, and a better stock market, at least until the second quarter. And there's a lot of apprehension that 2019 is going to bring slower economic growth, higher U.S. interest rates, more vulnerability to the Dow Jones Industrial Average and U.S. equities, and possibly some strength to precious metals and weakness to base metals. And it's just the same way it was a year ago, too. So I think that you've got a lot of assets that are really range-bound as investors are waiting for a clear direction. And that clear direction just may not come until the first quarter. Actually, you know, I guess the working title for our December Precious Metals Advisory is the first quarter changes everything. But that's 6 weeks away still. But I think that you've got a lot of investors sort of sitting on the sidelines. They look at precious metals. They say these things may be vulnerable to further downside. But then again, they're already low, as you said. But if I liquidated my precious metals position, where am I going to put my assets? Am I going to put them in the dollar? Well, it's sort of dead in the water, too. The stock market? Well, the stock market is looking vulnerable, more vulnerable to the downside than positive to the upside. So I think that a lot of investors are just sort of sitting on the sidelines saying, we've got to wait until we see a clearer direction overall.
Yeah, it's been really interesting recently. The market drivers, or at least the news events that have driven markets, have been so short-lived. And even this week, one of the major drivers was simply a speech that Powell gave, and a lot of traders hanging on two words from that speech. So not really a sustainable market move or a sustainable longer-term reason, I don't think. And even as we move into year-end, we're going to find out, well, the tail end of this weekend, if anything comes out of those G20 meetings. We also have an ECB meeting. We also have a Fed meeting. But as you look into next year, what are some of the key drivers you're going to be looking for?
Yeah. You know, just to finish off your thought, you know, you look at the Fed meeting, the G20 meeting, the ECB meeting. None of those meetings are expected to bring out any kind of dramatic announcement that's going to move the needle in any of these markets. So people are just sort of saying, you know, we're just treading waters. Looking forward, I think there are a number of things. First off, our view is that the economy will continue to be relatively stronger than people think. I don't think that we're going to move into a recession. And I think that means that the Fed will continue to raise interest rates three times, maybe even four times next year. Because, you know, for the Fed to stop raising interest rates along the path that it has said it's going to do, either the U.S. economy has to be much weaker, or the U.S. stock market has to be much weaker, or both of them. And I just don't see that happening immediately. So I think that you're going to have somewhat slower growth in the United States, China, Europe. You have concerns in England because of Brexit, but that's been around for a couple of years, and it's going to continue as we move toward the actual implementation now. And I think that the somewhat slower growth, somewhat higher interest rates are going to put downward pressure on the stock market. And it's going to help, at least help keep gold above $1,180, $1,200. And it may move gold higher later in 2019. And I think that silver also finds support around current levels, too. But the uncertainty, I mean, it's going to be uncertainty. It's not going to be a black and white situation where people say we're rolling into a recession. It's going to be, well, okay, growth is continuing. It's slower than it was. There are recessionary indicators on the horizon, but there are also inflationary indicators on the horizon. I'm just not sure how it's going to shake out. So that's economics and financial markets. But then you also have the political components. You have Brexit, which, you know, our analysis when they voted for Brexit was that over the next 10 years, British GDP would rise 10% less than it would otherwise if the Britain stayed in the EU. And now you're seeing, you know, that the British government is basically saying the same thing publicly. They've been saying it privately for a couple of years. But in the United States, you're going to have a Democratic House of Representatives. And that's going to really change the dynamics. And you're already seeing that now because they're going to go after Trump. They have to go after Trump. And Trump is going to fight back, and he fights very dirty. And it's a very dirty city, Washington, D.C. So I think there's going to be a lot of nasty politics in the United States, which is going to continue to keep people worried about the economic consequences of that nasty politics, even as the economy plugs along.
Let's wrap it up. One final question. You mentioned that you think the economy isn't going to necessarily go into a recession next year, and you think the Fed will continue to hike rates. I've been on record saying that I still think the Fed will hike rates probably two more times next year, which would bring them right around that 3% level, which I still think that they consider their neutral rate. Why do you think that the Fed's going to go past that neutral rate if we do assume it's around 3%?
I believe that they have said they expected to raise interest rates three times next year. And I think that the Fed, you know, given the lack of credibility that built up over the last decade in the Fed, I think the Fed is very mindful. Powell is very mindful of the need to rebuild credibility and belief that when the Fed says something, it lives up to it. So I think that the Fed is going to follow the policies that it's laid out, unless things really get nasty and hostile and they say, no, we, you know, things have changed now. We have to be more accommodative.
All right. Hey, Jeff, it's always great having you on the show. I do pay a lot of attention to the emails that you send out and everything that your group writes about. Again, that is the CPM group. I appreciate your time, Jeff. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Take care.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Hi, folks. It's a holiday season with hope in the air. Things to look forward to and no time for despair. Health can be a challenge, and so can the mail. So get the tea wants to help you by giving you a sale. Buy 2 months of Super Tea and get 1 month for free. No limit. That's buy 2 months of Super Tea and get 1 month free. That's a savings of $35. Where? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Scroll down on the front page and find the Buy Two, Get One Free ad. Click it and save. Orders over $100 get free shipping. Send the gift of life. Change tea at GetTheTea.com. We have many, many non-GMO organic supplements just waiting for you. This holiday season, enjoy health and Thanksgiving with GetTheTea.com. Want to call us? 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. GetTheTea.com is a proud sponsor of Doing What's Right. That's GetTheTea.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Martinson in this segment, and we are going to spend a little bit of time talking about that statement that came out of Powell this week that caused some market volatility, but this time it was market volatility to the upside. Everybody was hanging on essentially two words that came out of Powell's mouth. These words were just below, and that refers to rates being just below neutral. It caused the U.S. equity markets to move higher. It caused the dollar to pull back, but only a little bit, and it caused treasuries and even the precious metals to garner a buy. But Chris, as you and I were talking about off mic, you think that the market is almost focused on the wrong thing right now. It's missing a key aspect. Can you share with us what that key aspect is?
Well, absolutely. The in order to buy the idea that stocks should just surge on those two words, just below, you have to believe that stocks went up because interest rates were held low, and because the interest rate hike cycle is about to either pause or cease or whatever you want to call it, that we might hold right where we are, that is what's going to drive stocks, help stocks be higher. It's missing a big part of this story. Now, as you and I have discussed in the past, when the Fed hikes rates, what it's not doing, it's not removing liquidity from the marketplace. It's just simply turning a dial on interest on excess reserves. The interest rate ticks up. Hey, that has a direct impact on auto loans because higher rates, you know, on loan rates cause people to not be able to afford as much car. Same thing in housing. And when mortgage rates tick up, people can't afford quite as much house. So that is part of the effect, but to me, that's maybe 20-30%. What was driving stocks up. The rest of it was just simply what happened when the Fed and the ECB, Bank of Japan, poured tons of liquidity into the marketplace with their quantitative easing programs. There's nothing in those two words just below that says anything about what the central banks are going to do in terms of reconsidering their quantitative tightening programs. All of those are still on the books right now. I didn't see anything in the statement anywhere that suggested they were going to undo that part of it. Therefore, the markets are focused on the wrong thing. They're watching the tail, and they're not watching the dog, right? The dog in this story, the bulk of this is the fact that quantitative tightening is still the policy.
Yeah, it is. And is that a good thing for when the Fed gets to a point when I know everybody kind of wants to predict when they're going to start another QE program, when the recession hits and when the true market pullback hits. But you are right. The Fed is maybe just going to start tinkering at the end. They still didn't even say that they'd be pausing after this current rate hike in December. But again, as you're saying, the market's focused on the wrong thing. But is the Fed, do you think, even though they're in a tough position, are they still doing the right thing by still trying to unwind some of the balance sheet?
Well, absolutely. They should have started this probably 9 years ago. I don't think they should have expanded their balance sheet nearly as far as they did, nor any of the other central banks. They really pushed us way far out on a limb. They don't. So what they're trying to do is get a little room at the end of the runway. But again, understanding the mechanism, so important. So let's imagine that the Fed decides they have to start cutting rates in the future. That's what they're trying to do, is create a little extra, you know, runway for themselves. So if they have to cut rates to stimulate activity, well, how would they do that in the future, given that all they did was dial up the interest on excess reserves number? What would they do? Undo that? So dial that lower? So the way that this would normally work is you would take money, shove it into the marketplace. That would drive interest rates down. And because of that, banks would have extra liquidity to lend. So this whole thing is a brand new mechanism. I think the markets have it wrong by just focusing on the interest rate, because they're doing that really, Corey, from an understanding of how things used to work. The mechanism's really important, and it's just completely different now. So here's my statement. Until and unless the central banks reverse course and start shoving more money into the markets, we're going to see increase in volatility and more downward pressure on the three main bubbles that they created in stocks, bonds, real estate. Global bubbles, they're massive. I don't see how tinkering with interest rates by the mechanism of what you pay banks on their excess reserves is really going to solve this at this point.
Now, Chris, let's play a game of what if. What if December is the last rate hike? What sectors do you see being impacted, maybe getting saved? And maybe more importantly, what sectors do you see still having issues and this just really not having maybe the impact or the savior type result that the Fed would like?
Well, out of all the legs on the economic stool, housing, an important one, and autos, another very important one, really number one and two in the United States economy and Canadian as well. So when you look at that, I think that even if interest rate hikes were paused here at this moment, there isn't even another one in December, and we just carry the interest rates as they stand, we're going to see housing have a lot of trouble. Housing's a slow-moving beast. It takes a while there's a big lag in the system from the hikes to the impacts being observed. But we're seeing those observed impacts. We're already seeing inventory starting to climb. Prices are coming down. A lot of key markets are already way past an obvious peak. The data's got a huge lag in it, so I think we're going to see more going forward. That pig's already in the python, and as we watch that data come through, my prediction is that even with a pause in interest rate hikes, the damage to real estate's already done because, as you and I have talked about before, people aren't buying the house price, they're buying the monthly payment. And the average, the rule of thumb is for every 1% that mortgage rates go up, a person can afford 10% less house in terms of the price. Using that rough rule of thumb, it would not be surprising at all now that interest rates are up a full percent over the past year, that we're going to see house prices come down 10% in a lot of key markets, and that would be a starting point. We're already seeing that impact in Dallas. We're seeing it in San Francisco. We're seeing it in Seattle. So a number of key markets are already there, and my prediction is we would see that, plus weakness in new auto sales. Those would be two things that we would continue on their current trajectories, which are negative right now.
And so, Chris, do you think because of how potentially devastating this could be, and as you said, third credit cycle that we are going through here, and the Fed seems to be watching this very closely, do you think it gets extended a little bit further? Like, a lot of people are calling for a recession next year. Do you think that actually materializes, or is this something that drags on for a while longer?
Well, I do. Here's one thing I never rely on is the consensus for when a recession is going to come. 38 out of 38 economists never get it right. So they're not a crew you want to look at. You have to read the tea leaves for yourself, watch global trade levels, watch the credit impulse numbers, just, you know, feel the tenor in the air around you. Recessions just come out of nowhere almost always. And in retrospect, you know, the NBER is usually two quarters late, and they look back 6 months and they say, oh, there it was. So it just takes time to recognize them, but I think people can recognize them earlier for themselves. You got to just listen to what the CEOs are saying, watch what insiders are doing, are they buying or selling? Just, you know, gather the tea leaves as best you can. But look, this has been a really long, this is the second closing in on the longest expansion ever, but it's been kind of weak, kind of fake. And the reason for that, Corey, is what we talk about all the time is it wasn't real. It wasn't based on credit, bad credit being wiped out of the system, a reset of the business cycle being born on the back of businesses investing in their people, property, plant, and equipment. They didn't do that. What they did was this was a financially engineered recovery. It was, you know, shoved down the throats of the markets by cramming all this printed money into it. And we got a lot of financial engineering, which resulted in these bad decisions that are going to have to get wiped out. Corporations doing share buybacks. You know, look at what happened to GE and GM, both of them buying back their shares at really unattractive prices and really saddling their companies. It just is two examples out of hundreds we could talk about.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Always great having you on the show. Thank you for taking some time this weekend. Chris's website, co-founder, co-editor of peakprosperity.com. Well worth your time every day, actually. So, hey, Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks again. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, and you too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Happy to say I am chatting with Rick Bensinger. I had him on the show a few weeks ago. He writes the Bensinger Investment Strategies. I have a lot of time for what Rick has to write. I've been reading over his most recent newsletters, and I wanted to bring him on again to share some of his updated thoughts. First, before we get into some of the major markets that you're following, though, Rick, I do just want to get your comments on what Powell had to say, the short-term market reaction that we saw, and I think more importantly, it seems like a lot of people jumping on the boat that says Powell and the Fed will not be raising rates for much longer. Some people even say it will be a December rate hike and then a pause. What was your takeaway from his statement and your future expectations of rate hikes, please?
Well, Corey, I think, you know, there's a few things that were really significant this week. First off, Powell's comments obviously was the main driver of the market this week. And as the market just closed for the week and we see how much it rose, it's so significant on a comment from the Fed chairman that in my view was really a backtracking of what he had said the month before, which the market took bearishly and thinking he was too hawkish. Here he's indicating, okay, we're closer to neutral. That doesn't mean they're going to stop. That doesn't mean they're going to change their proposed schedule going forward. I think they'll raise in December. And, you know, in the last, let's say, week or so you started hearing some people say the Fed's only going to raise twice next year, not the three that was kind of consensus. And is it possible they only do two? Yeah, it's possible. My guess is Powell was fixing a speech error he made a month ago, and that the Fed will probably stay on track unless data points so have to change that. They will likely stay on track to three rate hikes next year. And the market took this lovingly, which probably means that in the equity market you had too many shorts built in. And you know, people have brought the price of the S&P kind of back to the highest level traded since all-time highs, which is this mid-2750 area. We closed at 2760, you know, so the market's right back to kind of an equilibrium price that it's traded since it peaked, about 2 months ago. So it shows how much the market was kind of short and pushing for the downside, that people got kind of knocked out this week on that thought process. But, you know, look, we're still 29.40, right? So we're still about 180 points or so from all-time highs. There's still plenty of room. The market would need to rally in order to make new highs by year's end. And as much as I think we've done the work needed to on the downside, and we put out a flash note to clients, I think it was the leading into Thanksgiving, that 26.35 in the S&P was the line in the sand. And we've held that. We tested it. We held it again, which really means we held the bottom of the channel on six out of, I think, the last 8 weeks. We've sold down to and held support right at support levels that the models we use told us to expect support. And we can certainly move back up, but I don't have enough in me from what I'd look at to think that we're just going to plow the new highs and everything's done on the downside. And some of that has to do with what we see on the credit side of the market.
Now, we will talk about the credit side of the market, but I do think that you are taking a level-headed approach and not getting too irrational, but it is showing how nervous some investors are getting and how much they're hanging on every single word that Powell is saying, because nothing did change this week, but boy, did we see some market fireworks. Let's talk about yields, too, because that's a market, again, you and I did not chat about, but yields have come down. The 10-year that had broken out earlier this year is back around 3% expectations for future rate hikes, which is correlated a lot to these yields. That obviously has come down as well. What do you think about where yields are? Is this bond bull market that we had in treasuries, is it truly over, or is there another run that's possible?
So I think the bond bull market that lasted 37 years or so is over. But what it does not necessarily mean is that rates just simply move up mostly unidirectionally, and that we're off to the races on the upside, and that we're going to see 3.5%, 4%, 4.5%, and 5%, you know, in the next year, year and a half. It doesn't imply that. The way we look at the market is the bond bull market being over means you can't make money consistently being bullish bonds. It doesn't necessitate that you make money now being short bonds all the time. We've ended a huge bull market that lasted over 35 years. We expect some back and forth. And one of the things that we came across a couple of weeks ago and let our clients know is when you look at a long-term U.S. 10-year chart and you go back to the peak in yields in, I think it was 1981, and 10-year yields were a little over 15% or so, every single downtrend line that you can draw on the long-term chart, whether from that all-time peak in yields or any other subsequent peak, every downtrend line has been broken above, which makes you think that, okay, that's certainly some supportive reason to why the bond market is done being in bullish mode, as far as price-wise, and bearish mode in yield terms, right? So every one of these downtrend lines on the yield chart has been broken above. But a couple of weeks ago, I decided to get a little creative, and I said to myself, let me look at the same chart on a log scale instead of a standard linear scale. And when I looked on a log scale, the downtrend line from all-time highs actually came in this year recently at 3.25%. So we literally went to the exact top, the trend line from all-time highs and pulled back from it. And if somebody says, well, why do you switch from a linear to a log scale? When something moves that type percentage movement, meaning from 15% over 30 years ago down to what, as low as 1.5% 2 years ago, That's the type chart you would typically look at in log scale, not linear scale. And by noticing that change in observation about the trend lines and that we haven't broken up above all those downtrend lines, along with a exhaustion, a shorter-term daily signal that we saw in bond futures, we've actually told clients for the last 2.5 weeks to be long bonds. And now we're down to, right near 3%. And I think the question becomes now, is there more to the downside? And if I had a guess in yield terms, if I had to guess, I'd actually say that there's probably some more room to go on downside, which is going to be painful for people because I think a lot of people did not expect it. We had called since March this year when we called the end of the bull market in bonds. We established and have been in print every week since with an upside target at 3.31%. That's where we saw bonds getting to. We got 98% of the way there. We missed by 6 basis points with the double top at 3.25, and then just short-term from a trading perspective, got bullish bonds. I think the marketplace is not quite prepared for a move beneath 3. And we could hang out near 3 for a while because that was the peaks in June, and I think early August got to just about 3%, and we pulled back. So now that we've sold off to it, we can hang here too. But if we don't get back above 3.15 or so, then I think there's another move coming under 3, and that's probably going to hurt a lot of people on the street.
So I guess in summary then, Rick, we can say that you still see the Fed continuing on with a generally hawkish stance, but the markets and liquidity is going to be a little bit more confused, a little bit more restrained, and still maybe a little bit more focused in some of the defensive sectors. We're not just going to see a massive inflow of money into U.S. equities next year, quite like we saw, say, last year, 2017.
That's correct. Look, in 2017, Corey, the market had no volatility, and people on the street were kind of crying about having no volatility. Every day on average, the S&P probably moved up, who knows, 2 points a day over the course of the year. And you had good returns by the end of the year, but you had to just stay invested, and you never even had to deal with a 5% shakeout. This year is a totally different story. People complain we didn't have any volatility. Well, 2018 certainly gave me a heck of a lot of volatility. If you like trading, this certainly is a market that's going to give you opportunities. If you don't like trading, you're not going to be a happy camper.
All right, Rick, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. But for everybody listening on the radio, come visit kereport.com. Rick and I do continue this conversation for about another 5 minutes. I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend show. Please keep in touch, Fleck at kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you, our listeners, and I hope you all have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corline Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.